What are you doing here? Where have you been? I asked, fighting to keep my voice low. Much is afoot. He nodded his head toward the gallows. So I see. I opened my mouth to ask the first of a thousand questions, but he quickly put a finger to his lips. Shh, he warned. Ruth put her arms in the air and grunted. She was tired of staring at the backsides of the people crowding around us. I shook my head. You're too big to pick up. No, she's not. Before I could protest, Corzin tossed his ridiculous hat at me and lifted Ruth up to a perch on his left shoulder. She squealed with delight and a little fear and hung onto his neck so tightly he looked to choke. I glanced at the red hat in my hand. A name was written on the scrap of fabric affixed to the crown. James. James? I wondered aloud. If he heard me, Corzin took no notice. His eyes raked the crowd, looking intently but giving no clue about what he sought. I cupped a hand to my mouth and whispered in his ear. When will they send for Ruth and me? Colonel Reagan promised to help. The world turns upside down every day. He kept his eyes straight ahead and one hand on Ruth's back to hold her steady. The time will come, you'll see. The drums beat faster. My heart sped up to match the rhythm. The drums stopped. Here he comes, someone called. A guard marched Hickey out of the prison and across the yard to the gallows, his uniform dirty but buttoned. He kept his eyes on the steps that led up to the platform. He did not look at the rope that awaited him. The crowd had recovered his voice and was screaming vile curses. Cabbages, rotten apples, and a dead cat were thrown in the direction of the traitor. He flinched as an egg sailed past his nose, but the men holding his elbows kept their backs straight and their boots marching forward. Hickey was halted in front of the captain of the guard. The captain said something that we couldn't hear. Then he pulled the sword from his scabbard and sliced the epaulets off Hickey's shoulders. He folded them and placed them in his pocket, then brought the sword down in a sweep across the front of Hickey's chest, neatly slicing off the buttons from the traitor's coat. The buttons fell one by one into the dust. Ruth stopped giggling. A preacher stepped out of the crowd and approached Hickey, a Bible in his hand. The captain nodded curtly at the preacher and said something else to Hickey, again too low for us to hear. Hickey said nothing, but he had started to tremble. The captain spat on Hickey's boots, took one step back, and slid his sword home into the scabbard. The preacher murmured to Hickey and got no response, so took him by the hand and led him to the wooden stairs that led up to his fate. He's crying, I said. Good, Corzin said. When he got to the top of the steps, Hickey turned around so the hangman could bind his wrist behind him. The drummers started beating their snares again, louder than before. The aide on horseback next to General Washington spoke, and the general leaned forward to hear better. He was by far the tallest man in sight. He agreed with whatever the aide said and patted his horse's neck. The animal tossed his mane and pawed at the ground. The crowd had grown so loud that Ruth released Corzin's neck and covered her ears with her hands. She whimpered once. I held out my arms and she slid into them. I lowered her to the ground. She stood near on top of my shoes, grasped my apron, and stuck her thumb in her mouth. The hangman led Hickey to the center of the platform. He placed the knotted noose around Hickey's neck, tightened it, then helped him climb into an upright barrel. The captain of the guard raised his hand. The drumming stopped. The crowd fell still. The captain of the guard unrolled a sheet of paper and read the charges in a loud voice. Thomas Hickey, you have been court-martialed and found guilty of the capital crimes of mutiny and sedition, of holding a treacherous correspondence with and receiving pay from the enemy for the most horrid and detestable purposes, and you have been sentenced to hang from the neck until dead. You are a disgrace to your country. He rolled the paper back up. May God have mercy on your soul. With that pronouncement, the hangman kicked the barrel away. The crowd gasped. I covered Ruth's eyes with my hands and closed my own.